Welcome to HPC News Bytes, a weekly show about important news in the world of supercomputing, AI, and other advanced technologies.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to HPC News Bytes. I'm Doug Black of Inside HPC, and with me is Shaheen Khan of OrionX.net. NVIDIA recently announced the NVQ Link architecture for coupling GPUs with quantum processors. And Shaheen, I wrote a piece earlier this year on HPE's daunting work in this area. Their strategy is to have HPE classical supercomputers ready to integrate with any of the prominent quantum modalities now under development when the time is appropriate. This is a very, very difficult and challenging area and very important. As for NVQ Link, NVIDIA described it as an open approach to quantum integration supporting 17 quantum processing unit builders, 5 controller builders, and 9 U.S. national labs.
Yeah, just like GPUs, QPUs for quantum processing units need tight connections to accelerate a supercomputer. Low latency and high bandwidth are needed for the applications that parcel out heavy tasks to QPUs, but they're also needed for quantum error correction, which spews out a lot of data. By some estimates, and at current rates, a large-scale quantum computer will have to process on the order of 100 terabytes of data per second for quantum error correction to achieve fault tolerance, just to illustrate the point. So the need is expected to be there one way or another. That leads to a topology where NVQ Link sits between the physical supercomputer and the physical QPU. Inside NVQ Link, we would have a real-time host with its own real-time connection to the quantum system controller, not the quantum processing unit itself, but the control system. NVQ Link plus the physical QPU would then form the logical QPU that is attached to the supercomputer. There's a very good paper on the archive website titled Platform Architecture for Tight Coupling of High-Performance Computing with Quantum Processors that explains the issues very well. It is authored by a large and a very strong team at A-Star in Singapore, University of Washington, University of Pittsburgh, DOE labs including Pacific Northwest, Sandia, Lawrence Berkeley, and Oak Ridge, and DOD-sponsored Lincoln Labs. Separately, in August, IBM and AMD announced something similar, but focused on the QEC, quantum error correction, part. And in October, they showed very good results of accelerating QEC using AMD's FPGAs. QEC lends itself nicely to the way FPGAs work. Getting a lot of application data into and out of QPUs, however, will remain a challenge. Quantum computing is still not for big data, so to say. It needs a problem that is, one, very high in compute intensity, meaning a lot of compute on a small amount of data, and two, requires what a QPU can actually do, and three, can be formulated so that it can use the QPU. The good news is a few of those hat tricks exist and more should exist. These efforts also show how HPC enables and then uses advanced technologies like AI and quantum.
Last month, I took a tour of one of the most technically formidable facilities I've ever come across, maybe even more impressive than taking a tour of the Frontier Exascale facility at Oak Ridge Lab, with liquid cooling plumbing that looked like a sci-fi version of a giant's castle. I'm talking about Fab 52 at Intel's foundry plant outside of Phoenix. It was enormous and it was endlessly complex. And my thought was, good luck to anyone who decides to get into the chip fab business. You need decades of corporate experience and institutional knowledge to operate at the super high level that the foundry industry requires. Now, yet, we have Elon Musk saying last week that Tesla will, quote, probably have to build a gigantic chip fab to make custom AI chips. And he added that Tesla might need to work with Intel. All of this is according to a Reuters article, and the Musk comments came at Tesla's annual meeting.
Well, first off, wow, that's way cool that you saw Fab 52 itself. I don't know if they allowed picture taking, probably not.
No.
But it must have been quite an experience.
Yes.
You're right on about the complexity of chip fabs and how long it takes to produce chips efficiently and then keeping up over time. It's an expensive, nonstop marathon. So if you can show the money, you also have to show the patience. So maybe working with existing players is best. And as you said, it was mentioned that maybe some deal can work out with Intel. And Intel has been creative in its deal making with the US government and then NVIDIA. We should also point out that Tesla needs chips for inside the cars, and its vertical integration strategy led it to design those in-house, although manufactured by TSMC. Those chips need to be high-end, more to reduce energy requirements than for speed per se, but they are not for data centers. Tesla abandoned its in-house Serra-class chip named D1. So the record is spotty.
Speaking of that, author and investor George Gilder had an interesting thought piece in the Wall Street Journal last week with a provocative title, "The Microchip Era is About to End." Specifically, Gilder is talking about the wafer-scale processor technologies exemplified by Tesla's now-abandoned Dojo supercomputer with, as you mentioned, Shaheen, the D1 chip, and by Cerebras, which uses the whole wafer as the chip and has delivered eye-popping benchmark results. The emergence of the wafer-scale engine, Gilder said, runs in the face of the CHIPS Act and chip export bans to China, which have been put in place to protect traditional chip design and manufacturing in the U.S. and to deny China the latest chip technology. This has taken place, according to Gilder, quote, amid undeniable portents of the end of microchips. Gilder concludes by saying the post-microchip era with data centers in a box of wafer-scale processors is coming. America, not China, should lead the way.
There was a time when one machine, whether a mainframe or a supercomputer, would do. But the moment workloads exceeded one system, we were in cluster territory. So the debate has pretty much always been not about whether or not you have a cluster, but about how big each node is and how many nodes you have. And bigger nodes have always been more efficient and typically also more expensive. There's a separate question about what it means for a node to be, quote, bigger. And that usually boils down to the biggest system that can run a single copy of the operating system, regardless of how that system is actually packaged. There's an old story in supercomputing attributed to Seymour Cray himself, saying, quote, if you were plowing a field, which would you rather use, 2 strong oxen or 1,024 chickens, end quote. This also has led to the capacity versus capability characterization of supercomputers, and it was in support of the parallel vector architecture that Seymour was building at the time versus the emerging massively parallel processing MPP approach like the Thinking Machine CM1 system, which would rely on much, much smaller CPUs. As technology enabled it, MPPs became better and clusters of PCs eventually led to the clusters we see today. Now, chips are about integrating more and more functions, so inevitably they have got physically larger and started to look more and more like full computers. Apple's M1 chip and its follow-ons have pointed the way. Server motherboards these days don't have a lot more on them than a big chip in the middle. The prevailing manufacturing process for wafers naturally produces cylindrical crystals, and the current industry standard is 30 centimeters round wafers. In our June 24th, 2024 episode, we mentioned TSMC is presumably playing with wafers of 51 centimeters by 51.5 centimeters. 60 centimeter wafers were proposed some years ago, but did not catch on for lack of demand and the need to ripple that size through all the equipments across the supply chain. So a lot of this has been happening and all vendors are tracking it. We have been a fan of Cerebras' technology and the hard problems it has solved in a number of dimensions to make their wafer-sized chips work and the path it has led. But you have to decouple its architecture from its manufacturing and remember that it's a fabless semiconductor company whose chips are produced by TSMC. And from a fab perspective, a wafer-scale chip is still a chip, subject to the same supply chain issues as other high-end chips, and only applicable when you need to shrink a very large number of systems, like you do with the back-end AI data centers. A bigger chip does not change the geopolitical dynamics, and the U.S. continues to need industrial policies like the CHIPS Act a few years ago and the very active all-around push that we see now.
Now, with the continuation, as of Monday morning, of the federal government shutdown, we're seeing a growing number of flight cancellations, and I don't know about you, Shaheen, but I'm starting to get concerned about my flight to St. Louis this coming weekend for SC25. I've actually toyed with the idea of taking the train from New York to Chicago and continuing west from there.
Oh, that sounds quite nice, actually. Well, I'm sure everyone with flights to SC25 will be watching airline announcements. And as you mentioned, I know some people have considered contingency plans, including to drive from other airports as far away as Dallas and Chicago. For those who are impacted by the shutdown, the SC25 organizers are offering online access, ability to cancel an existing registration, and the flexibility to decide until the last minute, more or less, by extending the standard rate deadline for in-person registration through Friday, November 14th. That's very nice. If you need to change to their digital experience or cancel your SC25 registration, you do need to fill a form as a way of submitting a written request. Look for it on the SC25 website. So safe travels, and I hope we all meet there in person and get back home safe and sound. All right, that's it for this episode. Thank you all for being with us.
HPC News Bites is a production of Orion X in association with Inside HPC. Shaheen Khan and Doug Black host the show. Every episode is featured on InsideHPC.com and posted on OrionX.net. Thank you for listening.